You are listening to the CMC Podcast. Join us each week for messages designed to equip, inspire, and motivate. And now for today's message from Pastor Tim Brooks.
As I just live daily life, doing normal things, when I'm just out here working in the workday world, I just see so much of God and how He works in life. You know, for God, there is absolutely no separation from a secular or a religious. You know, God doesn't go to church on Sunday morning for an hour and do something spiritual and then go out here in a workaday world where there is no spiritual activity. There is no separation. And how we have allowed that to happen, even in our own minds, has been a great injustice for us. God does not separate church time and every day. He is in and all and in part in everything we do. And as I look during my day, I just see biblical principles and I see the way God thinks and what He says in His Word playing out in everyday life. Well, I see how that happened, okay? That's what God meant when He said this, okay? That's how that works. You just watch this. Wherever I am and whatever I'm doing, I just always see a sermon. I just do. Well, there's a sermon right there. I need to teach on that. Several months ago, Terry and I were on a cruise, and we've been on several cruises, huge ships. If you've never been on a cruise ship, if you've never been in the Navy, if you've never been around or taken a tour of a ship, it's mind-boggling huge to think there's 7,000 or 8,000 people all living in separate rooms and countless restaurants and shops and two or three different swimming pools, many different theaters with shows going on, just unbelievable number of venues there to go. Some of them have go-kart tracks on them that you land airplanes on these things. Are you kidding me? Get on elevators and go up 18, 20 stories and down. When Terry and I were on this Alaskan cruise, we took a four-hour tour, and we went down under where everybody else goes. And boy, they showed us how they generate the electricity and where the food storage, and they got forklifts driving food pallets in to come out here and to feed 7,000 or 8,000 people, three meals a day and countless snacks a day, and how they, it's amazing. It's amazing. You know, we started going on this Alaskan cruise, and we got way up north, and I looked out the deck of our room, and there were icebergs out there, for crying out loud. That puckered me up. I'm just going to be honest with you. I saw a movie one time about a ship and iceberg, and it didn't end really good, so I was amazed that this thing wasn't sinking. One morning, we were out on our room, opened up onto a deck, and Terry and I sit out there in the morning, and I'm just looking out here, and I start thinking about this. You know, it's an interesting thing about this ship. It travels through wind and waves and storms and hurricanes. It just travels every day on smooth water. I mean, it travels through icebergs. Here's what I begin to think. A ship does not sink because all that it goes through. It doesn't sink because all that's around it. A ship will only sink when what's on the outside starts coming on the inside. Oh yeah, it's going to be real good. The title of today's message is "Not in Me." No. Not everybody shake your finger. No. Not in me. Nope. No. Not in me. I want to talk today about not letting what's on the outside get in on the inside. We go through storms in life. The fact is, when there are no storms and your life is just going rosy, there's still water on the outside that's always wanting to get on the inside of you, and you'll float on top of it unless you let what's on the outside start getting in on your inside. It's not the storm, it's not the wind, it's not the waves that will ever sink a boat. It's only when what's on the outside starts coming in. Now, here we are, 2 months into this storm. Waves crashing against our ship, 7, 8. It's been 9 weeks. This pandemic has been pretty much front and center. Many started out, this is the most foolish thing I ever heard in my whole life. Didn't give it the time of day. But over time, 1 week turned into the next week, turned into another week, and we have literally watched public opinion change over these last 2 months, where the people that started out thinking this was stupid and foolish and the silliest thing they ever heard now are hunkered down and living in fear. What happened? Well, fear crossed over and started getting in that boat at some point along the storm. Now, maybe it didn't hurt your pocketbook right at first, but over time, we start feeling a little financial strain here. Over time, this pandemic starts getting in. Then we hear these videos, and we're all watching them. This is a conspiracy to take over the whole world. We've all seen conspiracy videos, and they are taking off like wildfire. Now, I don't know about all those videos. I don't know about all this conspiracy I do know. But here's what I do know about this. It can't consume me. Because in my life, and I've lived a long one now, I have seen people let a conspiracy theory, whether it be the shooting of our president back in the 60s or what, I've seen a conspiracy theory come in and overtake somebody. I watched it destroy a marriage. It's so consumed with it that they can't even eat, sleep. So consumed with it. I watched it destroy and wreck a person's health because they became so consumed and eat up with this. You know where we're dealing with, is this a huge overreach of our government right now? And clearly, we've seen that in a lot of cases. Clearly, we've seen, our constitutional rights here are at stake. Whoa, we've crossed a line. Clearly, we are seeing cases of way too much government overreach. But I can't let that consume me to the point that it destroys my own marriage. It's so consumed me that I'm just eat up with it, and I'm just fuming with it, and I'm bitter about it, and then it destroys any relationship with anybody I'm around. I want you to know today, I've seen this all my life. People let stuff get in them, and I've watched it sink them. I've watched it sink their life. I want our church members to know we have the mind of Christ. We have the peace that Jesus brought us. And nowhere in the Bible will you read that his peace that he brought us depends on anything happening or not happening out here. He brought us peace. I want you to know that we have the presence and power of the Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of us. The disciples panicked when Jesus told them he's going away. And he said, no, it's good that I go away because the Holy Spirit will come. He has been with you, but he shall be in you. Church, we've got the power of the Holy Spirit living inside us. Now, all that's going on out here, and let me just say, I'm not a preacher that's telling you to step on your phone, crash your computers. I'm not telling you to throw your TVs away. I'm telling you, you need to watch that stuff. You need to study. You need to know what's going on out here. I don't want to be ignorant about what's happening, but just make sure that God and his word are controlling your mind and not what's out here. I watch, you'll be surprised, I watch a lot of Westerns. I don't know why anybody would not watch Westerns. I think it's the only thing you should watch is Westerns. So just take that for what it's worth. But for those who are not watching Westerns, as you should, let me just fill you in. The stagecoach gets robbed in every episode. The driver of the stagecoach gets shot and he falls off of the stagecoach in every episode. And the strong box gets stolen on every episode. But here's what's amazing. People just kept riding the stage. They kept taking their chances because really it was the best option that they had, and it's how they lived. In every episode that you'll ever watch, a group of guys come riding in town on their horses, shooting their guns straight up in the air, and they go in, they shoot several people, and they rob the bank. Every episode. People just kept on going downtown. They just kept on putting their money in the bank. You know, there's always been hard times, challenging times, scary situations. The difference and the only difference in then and now is a 24-hour-a-day news coverage of every stagecoach that ever rolls a wheel. People may, at that time, or probably didn't, ever even hear about the stage being robbed. There was not a reporter with a camera every square mile of America, and everybody riding the stage didn't have a cell phone that took pictures of the robbery and posted it before the robbers ever rode off. The whole world knew that the stage was getting robbed. Banks were getting robbed across America every day with shootouts. But the population, America, did not live life in fear. They didn't have to inwardly and internally deal with the numbers of stagecoaches every day that the wheel rolled off and it rolled down in the ravine. We didn't deal with that every single minute, every single hour of the day, the next bank robbery. We didn't deal with that. I mean, all you knew, and you vaguely knew of the stagecoach that was in your county. You sure didn't know about 3,000 miles away because you were going to live and die and never travel more than 50 miles away in your whole life. And you didn't even know about stagecoaches 3,000 miles away. Well, Tim, I'm ready for this sermon today because the same one you preached the last 8 weeks. Well, whenever they quit putting fear in our heart, then I'll quit preaching about fear getting in our heart. Because I'm just going to go ahead and be honest with you. Last night, my wife is down here till the wee hours of the morning putting these flowers together. She didn't get in back to our house until almost 10 o'clock. Lord. Wee hours of the morning, those ladies down here working. Sarah, Sydney, I don't know how they made it that late. Well, you won't believe this, but I just couldn't step that. I'd fallen asleep at a normal time when people should go to sleep. Well, she comes in wee hours of the morning, a few minutes before 10, and I wake up, maybe it's enough after 10 that all that stuff will be off of it. Let me hear what the weather guy says. You know, I check my phone, check the weather guy, 4 or 5 channels, they all got a different story. So let me check what this weather guy is going to say about this week. So I turned on the news, and I didn't turn it on late enough. The news was still on. And I mean, the numbers and what they just said, Terry moans, oh, gosh, I'm ready for some good news. I'm going to tell you, laying there in my bed. Now, I wasn't fully awake. I must be honest. I didn't have my armor of salvation all suited up and the helmet and your sword and my chaps. I mean, the shields or whatever. I didn't have all that on. See, it caught me a little off guard. And I'm telling you, I felt like a fist going in my stomach, and it sucker punched me, and I sighed. I just rolled over in my pillow, and then I started thinking, how are you going to stand up and preach this sermon tomorrow? I thought, not very well. You know, all of us have got to fight this. I got sucker punched last night at 11 minutes after 10. With the numbers and the reports, and it went all over me. And man, Terry just moaned and said, I'm ready for some good news. And I'm just telling you, I'll quit preaching against what's trying to get in us when what's trying to get in us stops trying to get in us. But right now, this is the battle that we're all facing. And I've been preaching every Sunday on this, and last night I got sucker punched by the news report. This church is full of people, including me. We stand on the word. We stand on the word for our family. We stand on the word for our health. We stand on the word for our finances. We stand on the word for our future. In this church, we are people who are not going to allow what's out here to get in here and wreck and destroy and sink our ship. We're not going to do it. We're standing strong because here's what I know. I've seen it. I've stood on the deck of a huge ship, and we were going through icebergs, for crying out loud. And it's not what's on the outside that'll sink a ship. It's what you allow to get on the inside that'll sink that ship. And the longer this pandemic goes, the more numbers that we daily have to deal with, the more times we go to the store and see everybody in there look like they're holding the store up with their mask on. Now we've got restaurants going to open up. I'm so excited this week. Going to open up. I'm taking my wife on a date. She and I are going to sit there with our mask on and our gloves on and look around like we can be the only ones in there and fighting this weird feeling, and I'm allowed only to pull my mask down when I eat my food. I'm not looking forward to going out to eat. Probably won't be going out to eat. You know, it's been a long time since maybe you've gotten a paycheck. For many in here that live on investments and interest off of their investments, that interest rate continues to go down. That's not going to get in me now. That's not, the longer this goes, I'm still going to stand firm in the word. It's not getting in us. Now, absolutely, you walk in wisdom. And it is wise for you to wear a mask in some of the places you go. It is wise that you wear gloves. It's wise that we social distance. It's wise that you cut back on your spending. We don't know how fast this economy is going to rebound and how long it will be till the money is flowing. You've got to cut back on your spending right now. I'm not even sure when I'm going to even want to go back to a restaurant. I want to walk wise. But here's what I'm telling you. Fear is not going to get in me and control my life. Absolutely, members of this church are going to live wise. We're going to live wise. It is allergy season, for crying out loud. There's a lot of ragweed out here. There's a lot of pollen out here. It is flu season. A lot of people get the flu. We happen to have a strand of virus now that we don't even fully understand how and where and what and how to handle. We don't even understand. Be wise. Everybody in here, be wise. Be wise. Cut back on your travel. Obviously, the less people that I'm in contact with that are outside of our county, the less likely I got of catching anything. The less people that I'm around that come from outside of our county, the less likely I am getting anything. I get that. Wise is not fear. Wise is not fear. What I'm talking about is we're not going to let the fear that's out here get in here and do worse damage to us than the coronavirus will ever do in your life. You be careful. Because the fallout effects of this are going to be a whole lot worse than the coronavirus will ever be. Don't you become victim of one of those. Don't you become victim of one of those. If your heart doesn't feel like it's working right, you go get it checked out. Oh, I'm not going in. I'm not going. You be wise. Come on. You be wise in what you're doing. Let's don't make decisions based on fear. If you need to go to the hospital, you go to the hospital and get yourself checked out. We're not going to live our life in fear. We're going to live it in wisdom. This pandemic is not in me. I'm going to live every day full of peace. I'm going to enjoy my day. We're living a good life. We are living a blessed life. We're living a good life. And we're going to continue to live a blessed life, a good life, and a happy life. I want to make every decision that I make, all of my decisions, I want based on wisdom. I want to be wise. I want to get wise counsel. I want to make well thought out decisions based on knowledge that I have. And I refuse to be controlled by and consumed by anything that's on the outside of me right now. You stay home. You spend less time. out. You wear a mask. You wash your hands. And do every bit of that based on wisdom, not on fear. I'm just telling you right now, it's very foolish. It's very foolish. I'm a hugger. I'm going to hug. I'm not scared of this thing. I'm going to hug and I'm going to shake it. No, you are stupid. I don't care if you are a hugger. Here's what you might want to do for the first time in your life. Think about somebody besides yourself. You are a hugger, but everybody around you right now is not. Are you getting this? Don't shake. I'm shaking hands. No, you're living in stupidity, not in wisdom. Don't live in stupidity. Live in wisdom. Don't live in fear. Live in wisdom. Let's live our life making right decisions. The message title today is, this thing's not getting in me. It's not getting in me. As y'all know, I'm not ever going to preach a sermon that's just a religious sounding theory. You're not going to leave here unless I tell you exactly how to do what I just preached. You're going to know, okay, Tim, how do I do that? How do I do that? I got two scriptures for today, and I want to talk about how we keep what's out here from getting in here. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. For I am confident that God, who began a good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished. Here's when you will be done here on this earth. When God's work in you is finally finished. I'm confident. I like that word. I stand here today confident that God has begun a good work in me, and he's going to continue that work until that work in me is fully finished. We talked about this in 2015. 5 years ago, our theme was based on Genesis 2:15, that after all of creation, God saw no one to tend the garden, so he created mankind. We talked about the fact that God was not lonely and needed angels in heaven. God had heaven full of angelic host. Full of angelic host. Now, thank God for his provision. When we finish our work here on earth, we will go and live in eternity in heaven with him. But the reason God created man was not to live in heaven with him. The reason God created man is because he found nobody to take care of the garden here. He saw nobody to take care of the business here, so he created you and I. Mankind was created male and female. He brings a male and a female together, and they don't choose the giftings of that child. God says, before you were born, while you were in your mother's womb, he formed you. And God formed you. He formed you different than anybody else. He formed you unique. It still shocks me today how two kids from the very same home, the very same mom and dad, can be so night and day different. It's shocking how different. God forms each individual, and he creates you different than other people. Some in your class are good at math. Some are good at science. Some are good at English. Some in your class hate school and can't wait to get out. They want to get out and go do something. I want to go do something. I want to go build something. This desk and this school deal, this is not for me. God created us unique, very different, even in the same family with the same mom and dad. Our second scripture for today, Acts 17:27. From one man he created all the nations throughout the whole earth. He decided beforehand when they should rise and fall, and he determined their boundaries. The Amplified Version says, and he made from one origin, one source, all the nations of men to settle on the face of the earth, having definitely determined their allotted periods of time and the fixed boundaries of their habitation. You didn't choose to be born in 1820, 1920, or 2020. God chose that. You didn't choose to be born in India or Africa or America. God chose when you would be born. He gifted you and he placed you here at this date, in this time, in this location, to fulfill a plan and a purpose. You got to quit being jealous, quit being insecure. Recognize I'm created by God and I'm on an assignment. Now use your gift. If that's to encourage somebody, be an encourager, be a supporter. If you're a mechanic, if you're a builder, if you're a plumber, if you're a babysitter, if you're sales, if you're a teacher, if you're an accountant, if you're a manager, if you facilitate, whatever you do that. All right, back to our two scriptures. Acts 17:26. Don't you look at this. He created. You weren't an accident. You didn't bang in here. He created. There's a plan. There's a designer. He created. Number two, he decided beforehand when you would be born. He decided beforehand when you would pass on. And he determined the boundaries of your habitation. He put you here. Now, how do I keep what's on the outside from getting in me and sinking my ship? How do I do this when I'm being inundated, crashed against all the time, crashing? How do I keep it out? You got to know Acts 17. I'm created by God. I was born at this time, and he decided before I got here how long I would be here. You also have to know Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. For I'm confident that God who began a good work in me will continue his work in me until he is finished. That's our two verses for today. Church, this pandemic caught us completely by surprise. No one saw this. The hospitals were not prepared to handle it, was the concern. We began to scramble around doing the best we could to flatten a curve so as not to overload the hospitals, overload our healthcare system, because we were caught completely off guard by this. Here's what I want you to know today. God was not caught off guard. God was not caught off guard. Tim, how do I keep going? How do I keep all of this that's out here from getting inside me? It's wearing me down. Here's what you need to know. I'm created by God. He chose this time in history that I would live. He decides how long I'm going to stay here. And I'm confident. I am confident today. I'm confident today that my God has not been caught off guard. He has got this. He's got this. We didn't see this coming. And fear is the result of something coming that you didn't see coming. We were afraid we didn't have enough ventilators. We were afraid we didn't have enough hospital beds. So we acted in panic and we acted in fear. And the message today is God saw this coming a long time ago. He got ready a long time ago. God's already flattened his curve. He can handle this. He can handle this. He's prepared to see you through until he is finished with all he has planned for you. I've happened to have read a little history in my life. I've read a little history. God called Moses to do a job. He was on an assignment. I'm going to tell you something right now. He did not see Pharaoh and his army coming and pinning him against that sea. He didn't see that, and it caught him totally off guard. It caught him totally off guard. But here's what I'm telling you. All of those odds that were against Moses, as he was trapped, as he was pinned, and he was caught completely off guard. Here's what I want you to know history tells us. That didn't stop God from doing all that he had planned to do through Moses. The key for Moses was, don't let Pharaoh get in your head. Don't let Pharaoh get in your head. It's caught you off guard. It didn't catch God off guard. And I'm telling you right now, Moses, God will continue to do in you, with you, and through you everything that he's planned, with or without this threat that you didn't see coming in on you. Let me tell you something. I've read history. God called a man Abraham, except for age caught up with him. Age limitations got in his way. You know, there's not a lot of 90-year-old women and 100-year-old men that are having a son. Age got up to him. But that did not stop God from doing what he called Abraham and Sarah to do. What he planned on the... See, God had a plan, and he put Abraham and Sarah here, and there was a call for them to produce it. And it wasn't the way... I don't care how old you are. That's not stopping God. See, God had already flattened that curve. God's got this under control. You just don't let your age get in your head. Don't let your age get in your head. God's got me here until he's done with me. And I'm confident that God will continue what he started. You know, I've read a little history. Read about David. David was on an assignment by God. God called David. God birthed David. He wove him with giftings. And God called David to do a job. I don't see God saying, "Oh, no, I didn't see this giant coming." See, a giant stepped out and caught all of Israel's army completely off guard. They weren't ready for that. They didn't see that coming. They didn't have enough ventilators to handle that giant. They didn't see it coming. But here's what I'm telling you. They didn't see it coming, but God did. And long before then, God had a little boy twirling a slingshot round and round and around his head out here in the woods somewhere. See, God began a long time ago to fulfill, to bring about, to carry through. God's calling on David's life. Let me tell you something else about David. David had an affair. Oh, no. God didn't look at Jesus and say, "Oh, no. You know, we can't use anybody that's been divorced. Oh, no, Jesus Christ, what are we going to do?" God doesn't say, "Jesus Christ, now what are we going to do?" God wasn't caught off guard. David had an affair, but God continued to do a work that he caught. Let me tell you something else. That just gets worse. David had the man killed. Had her husband killed. God didn't go, I didn't see that coming. Church, you didn't see things coming. I didn't see things coming. David didn't see this. Abraham didn't see this. Moses didn't see this. But God has got your life under control. And I'm confident that he who began a good work in you will continue that work until he is finished. What's out here is not getting in me. What's out here is not getting in me. We didn't see this pandemic coming. God saw it. God's prepared to see us through. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of God who lives in you? You do not belong to yourself. Verse 20. God bought you with a high price. I got a lot of cheap stuff. I look for cheap stuff. But there are a few things I got that I paid a lot of money for. Let me just tell you something about me. I take care of what I paid a lot of money for. Y'all hearing this? I take care of, I protect, and I watch over what I paid a lot of money for. You're not your own. God bought you with a high price. And if what I paid a lot for, I take care of, I'm going to say God can more than capable of taking care of what he paid a high price for. You're created by God for a purpose. You're on an assignment from God. God is well prepared to take care of you until his assignment for you is complete. Think about Moses' life. Think about all the diseases that he had to face. For 80 years, the diseases, the attacks, the things that happened in his life, that God saw him through because God wasn't finished with him yet. Abraham, we don't think about the first 100 years of Abraham's life. He could have died of a pandemic. He could have died of a virus. He could have died. A scorpion could have got him. He could have been snake bit. I mean, look at all of the things that God had to see Abraham through for 100 years of his life. Why did he see him through? Because he wasn't finished with Abraham yet. He wasn't finished with Abraham yet. Think about all the times that David's life could have been ended But God saw him through because God wasn't finished with him yet. Today, I want you to see yourself called by God, created and placed here on an assignment, and God, before you got here, knows the boundaries and the limitations of your habitation. And the coronavirus is not going to interrupt that. God is still on his throne. 2 Samuel chapter 22. The Lord is my rock and my fortress. My God is my rock in whom I find protection. He is my shield, the power that saves me. My place of safety, he is my refuge, my savior, the one who saves me. I called on the Lord who is worthy of praise, and he saved me from my enemies. The waves of death overwhelmed me. Floods of destruction swept over me. The grave wrapped its ropes around me. Death laid a trap in my path. But in my distress, I cried out to the Lord, and he heard me. My cry reached his ears. He reached down from heaven, and he rescued me. He led me to a place of safety. He rescued me because he delights in me. The Lord lives. Praise to my rock. May God, the rock of my salvation, be exalted. I sing praises to your name. Oh, no, 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 no. What's out here is not getting in me. Y'all stand. Lord, today we stand strong on your word. We are a church that believes you. We believe you. We believe you. God, this thing here did not catch you off guard. This pandemic did not catch you in frustration. You are my God. You are my strength, and you are the one that saves me. You are my health. You are the one that rescues me from my enemies. My future is in your hands. My life belongs to you. Now, God, direct me and guide me as I live and walk in wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
You have been listening to the CMC Podcast. For more information about CMC, our different conferences, Christian school, college internship, resources, and more, go to cmchurch.com.